it's really exciting to be able to share the story of Fusion with you. I must say, it's not my story to share. It's God's story and story of a lot of people that have come together on the Mornington Peninsula over many, many years. And it is a story of a mission. And for me, I've wrestled with what that means for a long time now, as obviously what we do is mission, the word mission is thrown around a lot. So what do you think of when you hear the word mission? Sorry?
Reaching out.
Reaching out, yes.
Going out,
yes.
Taking the word to other people.
Word to other people. And at the back there?
Just going out.
Going out. This is a smart church. I should probably sit down. Anyone else? What do you think?
Doing things for people.
Doing things for people, yeah.
The job you're sent to do.
The job you're sent to do. Wow. Good stuff. Well, as you all really piped in and shared, the word is a Latin word. I think it was Ignatius of Loyola that first used it. And it is mito, which means to send. And the passage that we've heard just before is a fantastic passage. And as I said to the kids, it's Jesus coaching those 12 disciples for the first time to be sent out. Have a go. Imagine how many times they stuffed it up. That makes me feel better when I think of that stuff. Don't we all need to start sometimes? I know I do. You don't need to have everything in your head, know how to complete the whole mission, but you do need to make a start. And often that start is the scariest part. And I got some portions of this passage up for us in the message, because I think it helps ordinary folk like us really hear what it means today. So Jesus sent his 12 harvest hands out with this charge. Don't begin by travelling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers, and don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighbourhood. Tell them the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick, raise the dead, touch the untouchables, kick out the demons. You have been treated generously, so live generously. Isn't that wow? It's not a big wow factor for me. So back in the 1970s, a bunch of young, early 20-year-olds, I think they were, they decided that they should get the young people from around the Mornington Peninsula to come to their church youth groups. And as we know, that's not always as simple as that statement. They didn't come. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to cross over to the main street of where they were to the youth groups. So they sat down and they thought, okay, well, maybe we should do something where we're in their neighbourhoods, in their place. And back then, the hangout spot was Mornington Main Street. The pubs were open. When the pubs would close, younger folk would come out and they just loiter around and get up to stuff that young people get up to. They're quite ingenious at causing trouble, really. And so they started a drop-in centre. It was called Arrow, and I would not be surprised if people here have connections with this drop-in centre. I can see some heads nodding. So if you didn't know, that it was the drop-in centre was the shop that used to be Gloria Jeans on Mornington Main Street. I can't remember what it is now. I don't shop
enough. Chinese restaurant.
There you go. Soy?
Yep.
Yes. And what happened was they sat down, they heard how much the rent was, they pulled in their own personal finances and they said, this is how much I can afford to give. Some of them, it was just before they were married. They were just starting their careers. Some of them were doing apprenticeships. And so they didn't have a heap of disposable cash. It was the right amount of money to the last cent that was required to rent that space. So they rented it. And their skills were like making toast and listening to people. I'll talk a little bit about that after. And after a while, they began noticing that young people were living with some complex issues. So they started to do some networking, meeting some other people, and they met an organisation called Fusion who were exactly like them, just a bunch of folk from different churches coming together wanting to help people in their local areas. And they thought, yeah, you know what, maybe we should do it under that banner, and because they've got a bit of training they've tapped into and we can learn to do other stuff. So they came together, emerging, and that, Steph's wearing the logo, that's what it's about, people coming together. And they did not start something new, that's what I love. They said, you know what, there's someone that's already knows some things, we'll partner with them. And Arrow became part of Fusion, and there were different volunteers coming in from around Victoria just saying that something was happening. They heard what God was doing. And after a while, who's been here long enough to remember the servicemen and the Balcombe Barracks and a lot of the peninsula looking a lot more like an army camp than the sort of suburbs you see now? Few people nodding. So we are situated in Mount Martha in the ex-army barracks of called Balcombe Barracks. And back in the 70s, it was still being used for apprentices would stay there if you join the army. And so there was a lot of little army huts as well where the privates lived. They were bulldozing all those down. The land was being handed over to the council. The barracks was decommissioned. They were selling off those beautiful big blocks of land that are around Mount Martha now, and the building itself, the Balcombe Barracks, is steel and concrete. If you want to do any renovation there, it's such a headache. And I imagine that the council thought, how about we do that last? And so in the meantime, there was a lot of people breaking into that barracks and stealing things. There were squatters, it was coming derelict. And if you're going to try and sell a nice block of land and you're seeing this place, this massive building quite derelict, it's not going to be too pleasing for you. So the council had this amazing idea. How about those volunteers that work at Arrow with Fusion and they've started doing stuff in the schools? They seem all right folk. Let's see if they want to stay here, because a lot of them are full-time volunteers, and they can maintain the place. What a great idea. So they did. And there's a lot of fantastic stories from folk back in that, because this was the beginning to be the early 80s, where they were cleaning out dead pigeons from the cupboards and, you know, finding all sorts of bits and pieces left by the squatters, and the Fusion team moved in. And if we get the next slide, please, Jen, thank you. Don't think you have to put on a fundraising campaign before you start. Don't tell Steph that. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. All you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day travel light. These folks started off just really basic. They just stepped out listening to people who were broken, to young people, and what emerged from there couldn't have started without that first sitting and listening to the needs in the local area. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but listening can be hard. You have to do all of those things that Jesus talks about, like taking the log out of your own eye, like remembering that the world doesn't revolve around you. You're there to help someone else. And that takes more energy than I think we realise it does until we are in the position of caring for somebody else. Can we get another slide, please? Okay. We recognise that there are a lot of people around us that have skills that we don't have. And Fusion is often partnering with others. So if I was to start tomorrow responding to people maybe that were a bit older, thanks, Steph, I wouldn't have the skills to do that. Isn't that better? She's amazing, isn't she? She's a resource manager. And I'm not that great at resourcing, so I need to partner with Steph to do others. What Jesus is talking about is meeting people who want to welcome you. When you knock on a door, be courteous in your greeting. If they welcome you, be gentle in your conversation. If they don't welcome you, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. You can be sure on Judgment Day they'll be sorry. They'll be mighty sorry, but it's not your concern now. Sadly, not everyone wants to get involved in what God is doing around us. It's easy to get upset about that. That's not our job. Work with the people that want to partner with you. That's God's job. So we heard about going to the lost, confused people. We heard about being treating others generously. We heard about touching the untouchables. We heard about kicking out the demons. Let me tell you about the demons in our local area. Family conflict. Family violence. But conflict doesn't even mean violence. It means that home is not a comfortable place to be. Mum and Dad are speaking to each other negatively constantly. They're stressed. Work is hard. The pressure of the mortgage. Home becomes toxic. Young people develop depressive symptoms. Anxiety. You know, on the Mornington Peninsula, depressive symptoms is 10% higher than the rest of the state average. Shocking. You wouldn't know. Self-harm. Suicide. Those are the demons that live in our neighbourhoods that these young people are experiencing. And when life gets really tough, I can tell you these kids become untouchable. It's too hard. No one can deal with them. And it was some of this situation which our youth workers back in the 80s were recognising when they were interacting with young people around them. And sadly, back in those days, there were no places for these kids to go. There was no accommodation service. There weren't the teams of welfare people in the schools. They didn't exist like they do today. And in 1985, something terribly sad happened. Two 15-year-old boys were sleeping in a dumpster bin down in the city. Too afraid to go home, trying to keep warm and to get themselves. And in the morning, a compactor truck had to empty that bin, didn't it? The driver could hear the screams, but he could only pull one boy to safety. Stories like this hit our 6 o'clock news within 15 seconds. And we forget about it. What does it mean to truly have your heart broken in such a way that your behaviour changes? I think that's what Jesus is talking about. So the team on the peninsula, they got together and they realised these are the same kids. This could be one of our kids. These kids are the same. This shouldn't be happening. What can we do? We make raisin toast and we listen to people. How can this make a difference in the world? How can this be following Christ in this situation? But there's something so important about being poor in spirit, not having the ability to respond to the world around you and crying out to God. But those raisin toast makers and Milo makers, there's a few other folk in the crew as well, the weird ones. Are you one of the weird ones in this group? Have a look around, they never know they're weird. They never know. But the weird ones are important. There were some that could juggle and they could do circus skills. They could balance a chair on their chin just by one leg. It's odd, isn't it? Don't devalue odd. Odd is great. And so they got their odd mates and they went into Melbourne and they did performing art scenarios that drew a crowd, and they were talking about young people are also experiencing homelessness. This happened to these little boys. They said homelessness is not just someone in their 40s that has ruined their life through drugs and alcohol and gambling. It's also these kids, and they have no options. What are we going to do? The other skills they had was basic craft. And I mean basic, like scissors. I can just do scissors. I can't do the other things. So they cut out lots of small signs this big. They could also write. I don't know if anyone else here can manage that neatly. I'm not so good. But they wrote on those little signs, I am a homeless young person, what will you do with me? And they tied those signs to little dolls and they handed them out in the streets of Melbourne. And people were confronted. Whoa, it's not my responsibility. But then they were left thinking, is it? And then it went viral. Not Facebook and Twitter viral, because, you know, this was the 80s, but 6 o'clock news, the newspapers. And then we started to meet other friends like this, because the doors were being opened. And some of these friends were amazing writers, like really good. And they wrote white papers that went to Canberra, two of them, one on youth homelessness and one on a term that I think it's got more academic words around it now, but we called it familylessness in the 80s. Familylessness. You can get heaps of textbooks if you do university on this term. And it speaks to the emptiness that is within someone when they have no belonging. We all need to belong. Jesus has made us to belong. The Trinity belong together. We are made in the image of the living God. Human beings need real, deep community and purpose. And when it doesn't exist, something goes missing. Life is dark. We're supposed to be loved and cared for. It makes us who we are. And those that don't have that love and care, they are the lost sheep. Where are they around you? Those white papers sparked something at the top level of the Australian government. And funding started to spark and become available. We started to see initiatives for young people who are at the end of their rope, which is amazing to think. They made raisin toast. That's what they did. They poured Milo and they listened to people. They made a start. Living alongside broken people, untouchable people, we actually all do. Do we have the eyes to see them? It's about addressing poverty, not just financial poverty. There's a lot of that around here too, believe me. But it's a different kind of poverty, and it's one we know from our scripture. It's a lack of shalom, a lack of God's peace. Shalom, everything in its right place. Wholeness. Poverty is a lack of wholeness. And here is the dilemma for us, folks. If we are God's people, if we are God's equipment, the church, Jesus' followers, are we the only people who can offer wholeness, peace, shalom? Our little housing service in Mount Martha, in that barracks that was started with Raisin Toast, does not receive any funding from the Australian government. The land is owned by the council. We have such a good relationship with them. Please keep praying for that relationship. It's vital. We're sitting on land that's worth millions, providing a home for the weakest, most vulnerable people around us. And it's not government funded, not because they've never offered it to us, but because we don't accept it. I tell you why. Because we're a little bit crazy. Now, I tell you why. A refuge where a young person would stay in maybe St Kilda or Dandenong, the length of stay is 6 to 8 weeks. It's classified as crisis accommodation. So therefore, if you're 16, you've just come out of hospital for being beaten up by whoever has done something awful like that to you in your not safe home, and you're right, you have to work out your life now and live by yourself, are you going to be able to manage that in 6 to 8 weeks? Not a chance. You've got trauma from years of abuse. You don't know where the next meal is coming from. You might not even have a birth certificate where you can even apply for Centrelink. Does that sound like God's plan to put these kids in a 6 to 8 weeks accommodation service? Does that sound like God's shalom, everything in its right place? No. We need to provide the equipment in our communities, ourselves, to fill that gap. Our program offers ways for the lost to encounter Christ in their own subculture as well. And relationships is key. We take kids on adventures. We take them to Uluru. We take them on camps. We share who Jesus is. And if I jump back to our passage right at the beginning, where those fellas got together and Jesus sent them out when he was training them. That part of the gospel is something called centrifugal. It means they're drawing in. It's a sciencey word, isn't it? I think I'm smart. I heard it from someone else. I didn't discover it. Centrifugal. And it means that they're going towards Jerusalem. They're going inwards. They must find out the cross happens. They must experience that. They must wrestle with that. They must say, Jesus, no, you were supposed to fix everything really quickly. Not do it like this. They needed to receive the Holy Spirit. And once they do, we do too. And after that happens, something else happens. The whole history of Jesus followers, of followers of God, becomes centripetal, even smarter word, which is sending out. Meto, folks. Remember the word meto? Means mission. Means to send out. We are sent because we have the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. We have brothers and sisters in Christ to do it with. We're never alone. The Greek word for the church, anyone know that? It is ecclesia. It's called out, sent out. Our time is centripetal, sending out. And our job is mission, to send. You get it? It's incredible, isn't it? The church exists to be in partnership with God's mission to the lost sheep out there. And if you don't have any skills, I used to think that too, and I still do. But what I can do, I bring. And I know that my brothers and sisters can bring their bit too. But it doesn't matter if I don't think I have the skills, because it's not about me. It's not my story. It's not Jane's story. It's not yours. It's Christ's story. It's about Jesus and his search for the lost. What a cool thing to partner with him. Thank you so much for having me. I hope I've stuck to your time frame. I sort of lose the plot. And please come and chat to us after. We're going to hang around for a little bit. Sometimes I do some questions. I just want to be respectful of time, and I've just noticed it. And we love chatting with people, and we love having people over. And we love connecting with those that are also on the journey with Jesus. Can I pray? Awesome. Hey, God, thanks for those moments in our lives that as Jesus followers we can be brave even though we're really scared and step out. Thanks for the times that people have entered into maybe a home and they've sat and chatted with someone who's lonely, or they've stayed and talked to a neighbour that's going through some hard times. We pray that you bless those moments and you give us eyes to see where we can step out again. Will you give us eyes to see what you're doing and where we can partner with others that are doing your work too? And we also pray for those lost sheep around us that are experiencing despair, that can't believe their life could be this terrible and are looking for ways to get out in any way possible. Will you help us to see them? We know you do. We just want to be your little one. Thank you for loving us and for choosing us. Can't believe that you really do, but it's true. Will you help us to live life and it's true as well? In your name, amen.